The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, send a message. It'll get Aaron involved. It's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. You can also get on the Twitch channel and comment. And if you miss the first hour, a lot of football talk. And we'll have a lot more football talk before it's all said and done. Our dog on the Twitch, Bruce Arians, kind of throwing Jameis Winston under the bus, question mark. When asked Monday if he believed...
For what? Throwing 30 picks in a season? No big deal, right?
I mean, if he'd thrown a few of them under the bus, they wouldn't have been picked. But he says, when asked Monday if it believes the Bucs could win with another quarterback, Arians responded, another quarterback? Oh, yeah, if we can win with this one, we can definitely win with another one, too. We're going to have a defense. Yeah, their defense was actually really good this year. But, you know, I think there's something really cool about 30 for 30. 33 touchdowns, 30 picks.
It is. I mean, it's and what he's
a,
the first.
What a great walk-off.
He's the first.
Throw the pick to lose the game. So... 713-780-ESPN. Like I said, Fred, I got to say that Letter Kenny TV show gave it a try. Totally hooked by the end of season one. I mean, it's hilarious. The first season I struggled with because they talk so fast. Like, I actually had the subtitles on the first couple episodes until I kind of picked up their delivery and inflections. And Kenny asked, would you watch a show in the vein of House of Cards centered around a guy's rise through the ranks of college football coaching? I wouldn't, but I thought, and you know, people think I'm weird for this. I just don't like sports shows.
I don't think I do either.
Yeah, I mean, like Hard Knocks for a while I liked, and sometimes I'll watch that.
Like that because it's real.
Yeah, but even now it's just been done so much. Like, there's nothing new.
I watched Ballers for a while, and now the end of it, I was like,
It wasn't a total sports show, so there was that. But yeah, everybody's The Natural is one of the great. I thought that movie sucked. It just doesn't do anything for me, and you know, it's cool if. It, again, we all have different tastes, but for some reason, sports movies just don't. I mean, I guess the only ones that I really like, there's stuff like Bull Durham or Major League.
Like comedies.
Yeah, that aren't really. Like, I didn't even like Field of Dreams that much.
You didn't like Remember the Titans.
Didn't like that either.
Just, I love it.
Didn't do much for me, and that's okay. All right, you were talking about the Texans cap, and let me just throw something out here.
Throw it.
For 2020, they're going to have $74 million in cap space.
Okay.
So let's say you go ahead and do a deal with Deshaun, whose cap number is 4.4. So you're probably looking at another $30 million.
Right.
Okay, so that's going to take you down to about 44.
Assuming that they do the deal this offseason,
right.
Which...
Yeah, and they may defer some of it to the following season. But let's just say they do it now, and that's what it is, okay? Tunsil, you're going to have to do as well. Well, he's already making 10. So if you pay him 5 or 6 more, then I'm going to say 15, 16 probably in there. Then, okay, now you're looking at about $34 million in cap space. I think you need, and the only guy you don't have coming back under contract that I think you want is Bradley Roby.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'd want to get him done. But you're going to still have some room there. It's just not going to be, you know, you're not going to have $74
million. Right.
But, I mean, that's the one thing is at least Tunsil.
You're probably going to sign a running back.
Well, depends on, are you going to bring back Carlos Hyde? And if so, what are you paying him?
What's the number?
If you do, Duke Johnson's making 4.1 next year. Do you keep him at that or do you get a cheaper guy? I mean, and the other thing you can do is, okay, JJ, if you decide you're going to keep JJ, well, maybe he renegotiates his contract so his cap number isn't $15 million next year, that it's a little lower for him to get money down the road. You can do stuff like that. And, you know, the other thing is maybe you decide you're not bringing Will Fuller back. Well, there's $10 million right there.
That's possible.
Maybe you decide you're not going to bring Vernon Hargreaves back. That's $9 million.
Well, you're going to have to bring some of these guys back because you're probably not bringing Jonathan Joseph back, right?
No, I would hope not. Boy, I don't know what people are more mad at me about, the fact that, you know, I don't like Dabo Swinney as a person, or the fact that I made a joke about Jonathan Joseph in my article. I basically just said, I set up the Bills thing. I basically just said the Texans sat Deshaun Watson and all these guys. And as the game went on, they benched more guys who might be useful next week and Jonathan Joseph. And for some reason, people got mad about that.
Well, people are defensive about guys that they grew up with. Mm. Other notable free agents, DJ Reader.
Yeah, you're going to have to sign him. And let me see. I got to look at his salary this year, because
his salary this year was $638,000.
Yeah, so you're looking at $8 or $9 million there into that cap as well.
Do you pay Darren Fells to come back?
What's his number?
He was 1.5 this year.
Yeah, I think you could give him like a $2.5 million contract.
Something. I mean, I think they should bring him back. Yeah. Considering they went in with all this quote unquote tight end depth.
Yeah,
I think he's the only one who plays ever.
No, they did play the other two guys yesterday.
Well, yeah. Now here's a real decision you're going to have to make. Barkevious Mingo.
Ooh. Hey, Mingo made a couple plays yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
I almost forgot he was on the team.
Kymie Fairbairn, free agent.
They'll re-sign him. They just re-signed their punter. He's actually, you know what? He hasn't missed a field goal in a long time now.
He hasn't. AJ McCarron will be a free agent. And he played well yesterday.
You'd probably bring him back as a backup. He's not going to cost you a ton.
So they've got a... I mean, but yeah, Roby one is a big question for sure. A running back Roby is going to be a big
Roby
question.
And Reader, but I mean, I think with the running backs, a lot depends on, like, if you... I mean, I think you probably want to keep Duke Johnson, but 4.1 seems like a lot. Again, maybe you negotiate a longer-term deal for less money. I don't know what you're going to pay Carlos Hyde, but you can't go paying him Lamar Miller money. I don't think that's reasonable. Yeah. And yeah, obviously, I just think you can find those guys, and they did this year. They went out and got those two guys. Good for them. So maybe, you know, I mean, that's some money you can save if you want. But you've also got some kind of bargains. I mean, Gary and Conley next year, 1.8 is pretty good for a guy who's probably going to start at corner for you.
Probably.
Lonnie Johnson, who you expect to get better, he's going to be 1.1. So you got, and Max Sharping is a starting guard at 1.1.
Yep.
Justin Reed, 1.1. I mean, so you've still got some. Now, eventually, those guys will come up, but by then, JJ's probably gone.
Well, is Kenny Stills under contract for next year?
Kenny Stills under contract for $7
million. Okay.
Another one that you could come back and say, listen, how about we give you a 3-year deal at 5 with a signing bonus, and you save a little cap room there? I wouldn't mind them doing that. Zach Fulton's kind of the same way. He's $7 million in the last year of his deal. There's no cap hit on either one of those guys if you cut them. I mean, in terms of dead money. So,
Brandon Dunn's a free agent, too. So, basically, your entire interior defensive line.
No, Angelo Blackson's not.
No, he's not.
He's back. And that guy's been pretty good.
And they've got Ominihu.
Yeah, but Reader, I think you need to get done. That guy's been a good player for you. But, again, what are you going to pay?
Right.
And I just feel like like Bernardrick McKinney and Whitney Mercilus, you gave these big deals. Now, actually, Mercilus's deal is not on here. Accounted for the $74 million on over the cap. So I'll have to go back and look at what he made last year versus, well, he wouldn't have been under the under contract at all. So they have like $61 million right now. So yeah, it's going to be, they're going to have some decisions to make. I think they can bring everybody back. But, you know, Nick said, in my opinion, they should learn from last year and sign Roby during the season if they let him test the market and maybe gone like Honey Badger. Yeah, except he missed a lot of the season.
Yeah.
And you couldn't really extend him while he's, you know, sitting on the sidelines for a month. But, you know, I think they'll try to, but I don't know that anybody's going to pay him a ton. But I think, you know, $8 or $9, $10 million is probably a going rate for a starting corner who's not bad.
But it is sort of and it's not quite the same situation as it was with A.J. Bouye. But people said if you pay A.J. Bouye, if they would have paid him earlier, they could have avoided A, a bigger number, and B, just losing him.
Yeah, which I don't know that he wanted to come back either. I mean, maybe he didn't want to sign during the season. Maybe Roby wanted to wait. Roby was doing the same thing.
And Roby, like, coming into this season, Roby was more... He was thought more highly of than Bouye was coming into his free agent season.
Yeah, but they...
Like, Bouye came out of nowhere.
But he also... But Roby was also coming off a really shaky season with the Broncos, which is why he did the one-year prove-it deal.
And he proved it.
I think he's proved it, but I also... Has he proved it to the extent that he's going to get a really big contract?
I don't know.
All right.
I mean, he'll get more than what he's making this year. What would we make this year? 10?
10, yeah.
He'll make more than that.
Maybe. Somebody asked, do boxing movies count? Cinderella Man, Raging Bull.
Boxing movies are awesome.
Boxing movies are like Rocky's different.
Yeah.
Boxing is always a little bit different.
And some of the, like, Raging Bull is a boxing movie sort of peripherally. So is Cinderella Man, really.
Right.
I mean, well,
even Million Dollar Baby is not.
Yeah,
really.
Those are about different things that they're just used boxing as the vehicle to get it there.
And some of those movies that you mentioned, like Remember the Titans, are kind of the same thing.
Hey, oh, Remember the Titans certainly is. But, I mean, that's a movie about race relations more than anything, and they just used football.
But I don't know. For some reason, boxing movies are always a little bit different.
No, boxing movies are the best.
All right, quick break. When we come back, we'll go through all the NFL games and what they meant yesterday. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And he says, one of my favorite sports movies is Goon. Fred hasn't already seen it. It's great. Yeah, I've seen Goon and Goon 2.
Goon 2? I didn't even know there was a Goon 2.
There was a Goon 2. And because we had, I don't know if you remember, but we had Kim Coates on to talk about it. And it was right after Harvey, as a matter of fact. Because Kim Coates, were a big fan of his from Sons of Anarchy. And he's amazing in that Bad Blood. I want to get him on to talk about that again. Yes, look, I like that, but it's a comedy. I like Slapshot, but it's a comedy. I don't think you'd call Caddyshack a golf movie, right?
No.
I mean, I like that. Okay, I'll give you one sports movie I actually liked. The Program with James Caan.
Okay.
Yeah, I liked that one for some reason. I don't think it was particularly good, but I liked it. It's just most of them just don't appeal to me. And that, I mean, I like more. I mean, I just think there's other things that I find more interesting, like Blue Alien Chicks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
All right. You want to go through what happened in the NFL yesterday? Because we've kind of hit on a few of them. But,
all right.
We didn't really talk about the Texans-Titans game. There's nothing really to talk about other than, hey, Derrick Henry won the rushing title in dramatic fashion.
That's the worst part of that game is I had the Texans in a teaser plus 16.5.
Oh.
And, I mean, literally all you had to, like, you knew that the Titans were obviously only going to run with Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
So don't let Derrick Henry run for a million yards. And the Texans were like, nah, we're going to let him do it.
Ouch. The only thing mentionable about this game is I had to watch the whole thing because I had my column written because it's a look ahead to the Bills game because we already knew what was going to happen, right? And I had to wait for the final score. So I watched the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
I hate myself for it. Jets beat the Bills 13-6. Another meaningless game for the Bills. They already knew where they were going.
Yep.
So
that was maybe the worst game in the history of games.
It was pretty ugly. Bengals Browns. Bengals 33-23. And Freddie Kitchens.
Bye bye.
Gone.
Yeah. See, this was actually not surprising at all to me. But like I said, the Bengals.
Yeah, you called
that
one.
They were locked up.
They already locked in the number one pick, and the Browns had kind of quit. And you know,
the Browns suck, man.
Well, listen, what were the two things we were most concerned about before the season? Head coach, and I wasn't sold on Baker. I don't know if you were sold on Baker. Well, guess what? Head coach is gone. I'm still not sold on Baker. And yeah, I was reading a story about Ken Dorsey maybe being in trouble, and it's like it talked about look what he hit on. It was really sharp to draft Baker Mayfield with the first pick. Was it?
I don't know. I don't know.
And now
they're fine. Like they're talking about Mike McCarthy. I mean, I don't know what. I almost feel like whatever the Browns do, it's going to end up being the wrong move. They almost feel like a cursed franchise. I don't know if I believe in that, but
do you think Mike McCarthy and Baker Mayfield can coexist?
And they've never done anything to make me feel differently about them. Like, oh yeah, they're on the verge of figuring it out. Vegas had them at over 8.5 wins this year. Come on. I think were they the favorites to win the AFC North, weren't they?
I think they were, yeah.
Oh, boy.
I do want to point out, we told you not to buy into that hype.
Yes.
But 6-10, because their schedule is pretty damn easy. There's really no reason for that. Although, again, I think a better coach will make a difference, but I don't know that they got the right quarterback. Packers beat the Lions. Boy, they almost blew this one and almost blew their first round bye. Rodgers came up with some plays in the fourth. But what are you doing down 17-3 to the Lions?
Well,
what the hell?
Yeah, I didn't see that coming. But
and they're going to be the number two seed in the NFC. Is there anybody out there that really thinks the Packers can make the Super Bowl?
I don't. I think they're frauds. I think that I feel bad for the Saints because the Saints have to play a friggin' wild card game while the Packers are home chilling. But that's the way it works, man.
Chiefs beat the Chargers 31-21, what is probably the last game as a Charger for Phillip Rivers. Chiefs, to me, are the one threat, the one realistic threat to the Ravens in the AFC.
Agreed. I think the Chiefs can play with damn near anybody on any given day. I still like the Ravens better, but the Chiefs they're the team that's supposed to be the two seed.
Bears beat the Vikings 21-19. Who cares?
Yep.
Dolphins beat the Patriots 27-24. And now.
So hilarious.
It is because the Patriots had everything to play for there. The Dolphins have played pretty well down the stretch here. But I don't think anybody saw that coming. If you did, then. I saw him covering the big spread, but I didn't see him winning the thing. Falcons, Buccaneers. Again, a game that didn't really mean anything except for the way it ended, which was perfect. Jameis Winston throwing his 30th pick of the year for a pick six. The 7th pick six he's thrown this season.
Unreal.
Should have been 8. They got a stupid penalty against the Texans. The Texans got a stupid penalty. It would have been 8. And the Falcons win it 28-22.
Well, I guess it's not surprising. But I will say this. I think the Falcons...
Falcons played
did
pretty
enough
good
in the second
football.
Half.
They did. They wound up finishing 7-9. And
after starting 1-7,
and if you look at, they beat 3 of the teams that won their divisions in the NFC. They played a lot of really good teams. They just lost to those teams early.
The problem is the Falcons are supposed to be good. They have the talent to be better than 7-9.
Right.
7-9 is still a massive disappointment. But
I don't know. To me, they're a 9-7 type team. So yes, it's a disappointment. But they should have. There's some games they could have won in there.
I think Josh Innes asked on Twitter, would you rather have Dan Quinn as your head coach or Bill O'Brien?
I don't. The only difference is Quinn got to a Super Bowl with Kyle Shanahan as his OC. I don't know. I think they're the same guy. Okay. I really do. I think they're pretty much the same guy.
I mean, I said Dan Quinn because, sure, he blew a Super Bowl, but at least his ceiling is getting to the Super Bowl. I don't think Bill O'Brien's ceiling is getting to the Super Bowl.
Well, if Bill O'Brien had hired Kyle Shanahan as offensive coordinator, they might have made one by now.
But I also don't think Bill O'Brien, his ego would allow him to hire a guy like Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, I agree with that. But honestly, I don't think Quinn should be fired. But
I'm not crazy about him as a coach.
I wouldn't go out of my way to say, if I could have Dan Quinn tomorrow over O'Brien, I don't know. Saints beat the Panthers 42-10. They weren't messing around. They got that thing out of reach in a hurry. Cowboys beat the Redskins.
Oh, my.
And stomped the Redskins,
yeah,
as it were. Actually, that game was pretty close until the second half, and then they just ran away and hid.
So too little, too late.
And what was funny was there were some games that, even if the Titans had not shown up and lost yesterday, they would have been okay.
Yeah.
Because the Broncos beat the Raiders. The Raiders came back late and made it a close game. And the other game, the Colts lost.
That surprised me.
Me too.
And they got thumped.
Yeah, the Jags just killed them in the second half.
Yeah, the second half was a wipeout.
And the Steelers lost to the Ravens, which I think we both liked the Ravens quite a bit there.
Yep.
And we talked about that. Even with a RG3, they would have a better quarterback than the Steelers. So all those things that had to happen for either the Raiders to get there or the Steelers to get there, none of them did. So Titans could have lost yesterday.
Nope.
And guess what? They still would have gotten in. Rams beat the Cardinals 31-24. The only reason I care about this is I had Cardinals plus 7.5 for a bunch and got the nice back door there. Eagles beat the Giants. I liked the Giants a lot in this game.
Too.
And I was feeling really good about it in the third quarter.
Yeah, suddenly the Eagles turned it on them. That was my big mistake pick of the week.
Yeah, mine too. And especially once the Eagles got the lead, and then Saquon Barkley takes off, and he's
before he was even out of danger, he's waving bye to guys.
Yeah, and
that dude's a freak show.
And as soon as they tied, I'm like, okay, all right. And then
because you expected the Eagles to roll over and quit like they do.
Yeah, that's an Eagle thing. But nope, they got the turnover, and then that was it basically. And I was just hoping the Giants would get a couple late scores to make it close, but did not happen. And then the big game last night, and I think this one deserves a little discussion, is 49ers Seahawks. 49ers win it 26-21. Seahawks had every chance to win this game. Hollister got stopped at the goal line.
That was actually a great hit, and it was a great game.
It was a great game, great defensive play, but boy, what a screwed up final sequence there when they've got first and goal with the one. They don't get the players out there on time.
How do you not? Why are you even spiking the ball there instead of just running a quarterback dive?
Well, that's question number one. And then after you spike the ball, how do you not get your players out there in time?
Yeah.
And yes, that was interference on the pass in the end zone. But you shot yourself in the foot quite a bit there. And,
yeah.
And give the 49ers credit for making a huge stop on that pass.
Yep. All right, I got to tell you about on the other side. Guess what's fully done and solidified now.
What's that?
The Texans' opponents for next year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No Lance when we come back.
Is Lance going to be on?
Yes, he is.
Oh, look at us! Just kidding. We'll forget about that Texans stuff.
We'll do that later.
We'll talk to Lance next. I got to tell you about CBDMD.com. This is high quality CBD products. They are third party lab tested to make sure you got a safe, clean product. You're not going to fail a drug test. They've got a 30-day money back guarantee. And there's a lot. I've been saying CBD is great for a long time. I'm a long-term proponent of it, but now you're talking about world-class athletes using CBDMD. Bubba Watson, Daniel Cormier, Kerry Walsh Jennings, Lolo Jones, Tyron Woodley. This is for high-level athletes, too. But it's for everyday stuff. If you're having trouble sleeping, you need a push to get through the day. CBDMD.com is helping to make it affordable and accessible to everyone. And the CBD Freeze has changed the game for me post-workouts. I've always taken the oil. I love that. They have gummy form. Whatever you like, they've got it, and they've got it at a great price. And right now, you can save 20% off your order at CBDMD.com with promo code ESPN975. That's CBDMD.com, promo code ESPN975 at checkout.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. I didn't realize this, but this will be the sixth straight Saturday afternoon wild card slot for the Texans.
Oh my.
So they're basically have been the opening act for six straight times now. All right, let's go to the co-host of the bench and really the biggest star here at ESPN 97.5 NFL Network, Lance Zierlein, who we didn't get to hear this morning, so I'm looking forward to hearing all your thoughts on everything. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Doing sports.
Hanging in there, Lance. Yeah. Hanging around.
So why don't we start with your Texans matchup with the Bills, get your initial thoughts on that.
I actually think it's a pretty decent matchup for them. I know there's some teeth gnashing. I mean, look, Buffalo's a really tough team. They're very good defensively, but, you know, they're not a very good offensive team. They're not someone who's going to put a lot of points on the board. I think defensively you've had some moments where you've stepped up and played decent football. Obviously, you know, the last game was kind of a throwaway game, but the game against Denver was, you know, a big concern. But this isn't the same kind of quarterback as Drew Lock. They don't have the same kind of targets and talent. You know, it really is. I think if the Texans just do a good job of taking care of the football, I think they should boat race Buffalo. But it's going to be a tough one because the Bills are just so fundamentally sound defensively. And, you know, there's just something about Energy Stadium that just doesn't have a lot of juice right now. It just, in any of the games you go to, there's just not a lot of energy there. And I think that now in all the playoff games I've gone to in the past, it's usually been pretty energetic. But then the Kansas City game right off the bat, Nile Davis took it to the house for a touchdown and all the air left the building. But then Cincinnati with the J.J. Watt interception return for a touchdown, you know, things are really pumping. I just don't feel like the crowd in Houston was the same this year as in years past. And I think there's just a lingering concern that, you know, are we going to see the same old thing over and over? So I think it really, really behooves the Texans to get off to a quick start and score early, which is something they don't usually do, because that will get the crowd energized. If you have another bungling first quarter or let Buffalo get on the board first, I think you're going to have the same issue with kind of a quiet stadium or a stadium that lacks, you know, home field advantage for the Texans.
The things that concern me, the Texans allowed the second most yards per rush to opposing quarterbacks this season, 5.6, and Josh Allen will take advantage of that. The Bills allowed the fewest to opposing quarterbacks. And the Bills don't get boat raced. When you said the Texans should boat race them, the Bills have lost one game this season by more than a touchdown. They stayed within a touchdown of the Ravens. They stayed within a touchdown of the Patriots. I don't think the Texans are capable of pulling away from this team.
Well, no. My definition of boat race is you take a lead and you can kind of nurse and you can just kind of hang on to the lead. Meaning, you know, I think it's going to be anywhere from a 7 to 3 point margin is what I think the Texans can do if they get out early. I don't see Buffalo as a team that can score three unanswered. I mean, at this, they don't strike me as that kind of offense. So when I say boat race, I mean a close game where Buffalo is unlikely to have a drastic swing. It's the opposite of a Rockets game, where there's drastic wild swings.
20-point runs. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I don't see that with Buffalo. They're one of the least likely teams to do that. Unless they take it away and get a defensive score. You know, that's always a big concern against them.
Lance Erline is our guest. The one thing, what kind of impact do you think J.J. Watt's going to have coming off the injury, and how much difference does he make? Because we did this last week. I mean, it's like 50 yards a game difference with him out of the lineup.
Yeah, I think he could still have an impact. I think first and foremost, the fans are going to be very excited when he takes the field. I think that's going to really provide some good juice. Just the fact that he's gone and then comes back, I think people will be excited about that. But I do think he's the type of player that, you know, he's so good with his hands that he can win quickly off a snap and get into a gap and do some disruptive things. I just don't think he's going to be a big finisher. Like, I don't think you're going to see him post the production, because that's not where he is this year. It's really too much to expect that to happen. However, I do think he can have moments where he flashes into the backfield and causes some problems. So I think getting J.J. back is good, and I think the fans will really be responsive to him being back in the lineup when he's, you know, when his name is called and he's the last one who comes out if they announce the defense this week.
Curious your thoughts on the Texans signing of Whitney Mercilus. It seems like you're paying a guy who is older than Clowney and is not doesn't have the upside of Clowney. You're kind of paying him when you refuse to pay Clowney. I don't understand it, But maybe you see something that I don't hear.
No, I honestly don't think they know what they're doing in this regard. I mean, I just don't. It doesn't make any sense. Good teams do not keep paying and extending players who are and let's face it, Whitney, for being a great guy and a great high-character player and somebody who flashed early in the season and then kind of went away for a while, he's still got some football left in him. Why you don't need to extend him? It's not like there's a cap number that you want to work around unless that's what they were doing. To me, if I'm correct, if I remember correctly, you could have just moved on from him and saved some money. So I really honestly have no idea why they're doing that, other than the fact that they don't, you know, really honestly, what it probably is, they don't have draft picks. They've given away their draft picks, and they've got other holes to fill. And I think what they're basically doing is saying, hey, let's do this so that we knock this out right now. We're not going to have money because we're going to pay Laremy Tunsil. We're going to have to pay Deshaun Watson. Let's get this done now. We don't have draft picks. And I've been telling everybody this is coming. This is coming to where you're going to start to see them have to throw some Band-Aids around because they don't have what they need to address some of these positions. And that's probably why. I didn't love the Nick Martin deal. I don't love the Whitney Merciless deal. But more than likely, it's because they don't see many options for replacing him since they don't have the same draft capital.
Some quick thoughts on the college football, obviously LSU, Clemson, two very different kind of games. What are your thoughts about the championship off of the weekend?
Oh, man. You know, Oklahoma and Notre Dame should play loser leave college football playoffs for all of eternity, basically is what I'm thinking there. Although Oklahoma was, well, they got off to a bad start, but they battled back last year. So, I got to give them some credit for this. This was, honestly, just Oklahoma just had no business being on the field. They just weren't good enough. And this is my argument against expanding the college football playoffs. I don't remember a time where there really has been four deserving teams. I've seen three. Sometimes it's been two. I've never seen five deserving teams. I've never seen five deserving teams to be in the playoffs. I don't want to expand it into teams who don't deserve it and make it bigger. I thought we had a great performance by Joe Burrow and LSU. We had a great game with Ohio State and Clemson. The legend of Trevor Lawrence grew again, and really he kind of cemented why the tank for Tua was always kind of a joke when the real prize was going to be the year after that. And I'm really excited about this matchup. You got an underrated, unheralded Clemson. Well, they're underrated by the public, not the money guys, because
they are now.
Yeah, well, 5.5. But how do you not make it 5.5? How do you not when Joe Burrow is doing what he's doing to SEC defenses, and now, you know, he did this to Oklahoma, and granted, Oklahoma's not great. They're on such a roll right now that I think it's hard for you to put a number up there. It's tricky from a gambling standpoint, because if you put it too high, the wise guys are going to fire on Clemson, and they'll money line you.
Trevor Lawrence has never lost a college football game, and suddenly he's like a massive dog.
That's pretty impressive, and he did that. He did that in the last game he did it with his feet. He got up. Now, granted, so many things had to go right for him. I thought the call was not a good call on the scoop and score. I did think it was a good call on the helmet. I mean, it was obviously targeting. The right call on the helmet targeting. But his ability to run away from defenses, that joker can run. And then he just has so much poise. T. Higgins was not the same player after he got hurt. And so, you know, for him to show the poise that he showed, and then defensively, that's just a team of dirt dogs on defense. Nobody, they're not as heralded. I'm not sure they're going to have the same level of pro prospects, but you just don't see a lot of difference between last year's team and this year's team, other than the other guys looked better in the uniforms last year. I mean, the performance is about the same.
Lance Erline's been our guest. Hey, any thoughts on what happened with the Patriots yesterday, and did we wind up with the two most deserving seeds in the AFC at the end?
I think it's the two most likely to win a Super Bowl. This whole, well, he's still Brady, and, well, he can bounce back. The Patriots are dead. They are dead in the water. You see, Stephon Gilmore got worked yesterday by Devontae Parker. That's a really bad sign for that team. He hasn't been the same here lately. Tom Brady is definitely not the same. They can't just run it down people's throats. And then you got Pat Mahomes all of a sudden on an upswing. You've got obviously Lamar Jackson and Baltimore just playing on a different level. Yeah, I do think we got the right. I am glad with how it's seated, and I think it's going to be very, very interesting to see how the Patriots respond moving forward, because Brady has fallen off that cliff. Whether people want to admit it or not, you can go to the, well, we've said that before about Brady. Guys, without Rob Gronkowski, he's a shell of himself. He has been for a full season. That's a big sample size. So how the Patriots deal with him, how he deals with it, I think he wants to keep playing. My guess is they'll have him play one more year while they figure out if Jarrett Stidham is his future replacement. But I think the evil empire is finally coming to an end.
All right, that's Lance Zierlein. You can hear him on the bench every morning here, right here on ESPN 97.5, at least every weekday morning when it's not holidays and stuff. Lance, I hope you have a great new year, man, and appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, same to you guys. Thanks.
All right. Let's take a quick break. I have a very interesting gym of the day when we come back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Everybody doubted me, but girl, you stuck around.
The Blitz. The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, and it is time for the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
I think you're going to like this one.
All right.
We go to Windsor, Ontario.
Your people.
That's right. Oh, geez. Where a man is suing Caesars Windsor because the Ontario casino allegedly allowed him to gamble and lose. Tarwinder Shokar.
Oh, I remember him from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, he was one of the Dothraki, I believe. He's suing the casino for all his losses, which comes to about $342,000. And, well, that's probably Canadian, so it's like $80,000 US. And $500,000 on top of that in punitive damages. He was banned from several gambling areas beforehand, and now he's banned all across Ontario. In 2013, he arrived at Caesars Casino with a $55,000 bank draft and had the full luxury treatment. He played roulette for about an hour with $25,000 in chips. I love some of the details of this story. He went to eat with an escort, then returned to the gaming floor. He then withdrew another $25,000 and managed to lose it all. Then he took a taxi to his home in Toronto, which is about $800 taxi fare. Casino paid for it. He came back with more bank drafts and lost about $92,000. Days later, he returned with a $100,000 bank draft, purchased 50 in chips, and then the rest about an hour later, so he went through that. And then he showed up with another $275,000 ones to add to his casino account and eventually lost $250,000 that day alone.
Okay.
And it was filed back in 2013, but apparently this year it's reached the Superior Court of Justice in Windsor. And at one point, this is my favorite part of the story. At one point, he tried to end his life by stepping in front of a truck after having gambled all his money, but failed and managed to get a big insurance payout with which he decided to gamble again. He headed to the Caesars Windsor and managed to lose a $342,000 settlement, and now he's trying to get it back with a lawsuit.
Not wise. Guys.
Good luck.
Shokar's lawyer said his client is a compulsive gambler, and the casino and Ontario Lottery and Gaming Corporation should have known, since he was banned from other Ontario casinos for disruptive behavior. Okay, if he's banned for disruptive behavior, am I going to ban him for... the casino's supposed to protect you from yourself?
I don't think that's their job. They've got, as long as they put up those signs that say, have a gambling problem, call 1-800.
Right. I mean, they should be
fine. They're doing their due diligence.
He also has a criminal record after being convicted for fraud. The lawsuit accuses the casino of doing everything in their power to make the man gamble as much money as possible. I'm just going to say, at some point, someone at that casino probably tried to talk him out of gambling.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because they do. And every casino in the world, if you're out there and you're getting your ass kicked for that kind of money, it's because they want you long term. It's the old Amarillo Slim thing. You can shear a sheep as often as you like, but you can only skin him once.
Yep.
They don't want to skin you. They just want to keep shearing you. So I'm going to say this is a BS lawsuit. But my favorite part is he's going to kill himself because he's lost all his money, and then he gets a settlement for getting hit by a truck.
And then he gambles that away.
And then he gambles it all away.
By the way, he's not good at gambling.
Yeah, yeah. Let's well, he's playing stuff like roulette and things like that. I mean, you know, you're going to lose a bunch of money at that. That is your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
I had a bunch of good ones, but I'll try to save them for later. And well, there's always good stuff, though, especially I guarantee you we'll get something from New Year's Eve. Here's another one that was on the list. A 10-year-old boy was trying to board a flight in Johannesburg, South Africa, and he was informed by security officers that the T-shirt he was wearing would not be allowed on the plane. It was a T-shirt that had an image of a snake.
Okay.
Apparently, they thought the snake would freak out on his T-shirt, would freak out the other passengers, and forced him to turn it inside out.
What? How old was this kid?
10.
Shame.
It says the reasoning was...
Was it a trouser snake?
See, no, it was a snake. I mean, a 10-year-old trouser snake is going to be more like...
Well, I meant on his T-shirt. It could have been like a Lexington Steel fan club shirt.
No, it would have been a V and a sausage, but... their reasoning was seeing that the reptile could cause anxiety in other passengers or crew members. Really? Are we that? Is our society that weak now?
Yes, Fred.
Somebody had just watched Snakes on a Plane and was freaked out by a shirt. Is that what it was?
Maybe.
So American Airlines threatened to take a guy off for a flight from Florida to Nevada in December because she was wearing a shirt that read, Hail Satan.
Okay.
Is that offensive?
I guess to some.
Yeah, hopefully. I don't think I've ever worn anything that'll get me kicked off a plane, but maybe I should try that to see what I can get on a plane.
What would it take?
And maybe just wear a snake shirt.
Yeah.
And wear a snakes on a plane shirt. That's even better. I'm team snakes on a plane.
You know what team I'm on? Team Carbach.
And you should be.
Yeah. And guys, listen, I actually, Eric and I already have a date locked in next month for our brew day. You can get so many beers at Carbach at the restaurant that you can't get anywhere else in the whole wide world. You got to go check it out. Have the food, have the beers that are on the wall because, like I said, they've got a lot of stuff that's been long since out of production that they're saving just for you. And B, they've got some stuff that you're not going to find anywhere else. So, and they've got something that pairs with everything on the menu. The menu's fantastic. It's dynamic. It's versatile. There's something for everybody there. They've got concerts going on constantly. And you want to keep up with what's going on at Carbach, what new beers are coming out, follow them on Facebook, follow them on Instagram, follow them on Twitter. That's where you're going to find out everything new about the restaurant, everything new about the brewery, everything about the concert series, everything Carbach. That's the place to check it out. And when you're out and about this week, or maybe over the holiday, over the New Year's, maybe when you make that toast with a Carbach.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.